Come on, let's worship him this morning. Never fails, will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God is never late, is working all things out, working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley.
Oh, yes, I will.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails.
Jesus, the only one who could ever save.
breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, oh, we live for you. Sing holy and holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Oh, the King of Glory is in this room. Oh, worthy. He's worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever. Worthy of every breath we could ever.
Open up my eyes in one.
church who sets him as our one thing, as our first thing. We come before you, Lord, and we ask that you would just come. You're all we want. You're all we need. Lord, we cry out to you. Come on, exalt him in your own words. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Oh, we magnify your name.
We're so glad you're joining us. Whether you're in person or online, here are a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at Harvest Time. Here are a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all things that are going on, scan the QR code or visit htchurch.com.
If you would like to give, you can visit htchurch.com, click on Give at the top of the page, use our Realm Connect app to set up reoccurring giving, or give at any time using our Harvest Time offering envelopes.
We have so many opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, see us at the Connect Desk. We love you, Harvest Time Church. Have a great week.
Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Welcome to Harvest Time. It is so good to be gathered together in the Lord's presence. Amen. Didn't the team do a great job leading us into God's presence this morning? Amen. David said, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And we also want to greet everybody who's worshiping with us online this morning. We are one family together, whether you're here in person or whether you're worshiping with us online today. In just a few moments, the ushers are coming to wait on us for our giving. And we want to say thank you for all of your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. Your tithe is the first 10% of what the Lord has entrusted to us during the week that's just gone by. How many of you know that God encourages his people to give in his word? In Proverbs, we read this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. I don't think we have many farmers here today. Maybe one or two, I don't know. But we do know, amen, that God blesses and multiplies what we have when we're living and giving faithfully, amen. Your program has an envelope that you can use today to give in a few different ways. Excuse me. If you're giving by debit card or credit card, please remember to provide that 3-digit code on the back of your card. If you're giving cash today and you'd like to receive credit for your gifts, please make sure that we do have your information. Giving online is very easy and it's secure. You can give anytime through our Realm app, or you can also give through our website at htchurch.com. When you visit the website, there's a giving link on the top of the homepage, and you can use that link to make a one-time gift, or you can set up regular withdrawals, regular giving through the website as well. Lots of people are choosing to give that way. You can also give by text if you prefer, and there's instructions on the screen as to how to give that way. If you have little ones with you this morning and you're concerned that they may not be able to sit all the way through the service, we do have great nursery care for your infants and toddlers in this service and in all of our services. One quick thing for you before the ushers come and wait on us. We just want to remind everybody that during the month of August, our kids' ministries are going to be taking a bit of a break on Wednesday evening so that our volunteers can rest up and get ready for September, get ready for the fall program season. Harvest Time Youth, however, will be meeting. Our students in grades 6 through 12 are going to be here this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Going to invite the ushers to come and wait on us now for our giving. And if you've brought your offering with you today, let me just encourage you, just let's lift that up before the Lord, and let's lift our hearts up before the Lord and ask his blessing upon us and upon our gifts as we give today. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' lovely name today. Lord, you have taught us, God, the meaning of true giving. We thank you for your generosity to us, and thank you for meeting all of our needs through Jesus, your Son. God, we know that it's our privilege now today to give back to you out of what you have first given to us. Father, we pray that you would bless and multiply the seed that we're sowing here today. Lord, would you use these gifts to spread the message of Jesus' love here at home and all around the world? And God, we ask that you would speak your blessing over your faithful people in the week that's coming up. If you agree with that, would you say amen and amen? God bless you as you give this morning.
I'm so excited to be honorary chair for Connecticut City Fest. The entire body of Christ is coming together for this effort, working to meet the needs of this region and to share the good news of Jesus. So I encourage you all, make the most of this effort. Pray for your friends. Pray that they would come to know Jesus and invite them to the festival on August 27th. 28. This could be a life-changing moment for them. So I can't wait to see how God works through Connecticut City Fest, and I look forward to seeing you at Seaside Park, August 27th and 28th.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, I want to invite you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I want to talk to you for a few minutes today about aspire to service. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Going to start reading in verse 8. While you find your way there, first of all, City Fest is coming up August 27th and 28th at Seaside Park in Bridgeport. Connecticut evangelist Andrew Palau is going to be there. There's going to be a number of Christian groups that you're familiar with and a lot of fun activities. And the purpose of this event is to introduce people to faith in Jesus. The tickets for City Fest are free. We have tickets out at the Connect desk out in the main lobby. And we hope that you'll invite somebody to come and be with you and be part of City Fest. Just before we read the scripture this morning, I want to ask Pastor Kurt and Vivi and our youth to come very quickly, those that are here with them. We have a group of students that are leaving tomorrow morning for Orlando, Florida. Come, Pastor Kurt and Vivi. Come, Sophia. Jacob is coming. And Grace. So once a year, our students have an opportunity to participate in a fine arts festival. It's a national festival of Christian young people from across the country, somewhere between 8 and 10,000 young people that compete in different categories of music, worship instruments, instrument solos, vocal solos, dance, art, drawing, poetry, sermon composition, and a variety of different categories. And we just want to pray and bless our kids. We're so proud of our kids. These kids have made it to the national competition. And we have a few more that have already left for Orlando and are headed down real quickly. Pastor Kurt, very quick, tell us what some of our different young people, tell us what they're competing in at the national level.
Well, good morning, church. We have students participating in classical piano. We have our worship team going out to render worship at a national level. And then we also have a variety of other students participating in photography, mobile photography, digital photography, artwork. And so we are just so excited. Solo and do it. I love my wife. She reminds me when I forget. So we have quite a lot of participants participating in various categories. Please keep us in prayer this week as the students head out there. It's a competition, but ultimately they're showcasing their talents for the glory of the Lord, and we want them just to be focused on blessing the Lord and the people that are coming. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Eric Little was a Christian missionary that was featured in the movie Chariots of Fire, and he said, I serve God. He said, I serve God with my whole heart. He said, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his glory. And how many of you know when we create, when God has given us a gift, when we paint, when we sing, when use the talent God has given us, we just glorify him through that. So I want you to stretch your hands forward towards these students and let's just bless them for safe travels and for good success. Lord, we thank you so much for our students. Thank you for these young men and women, Lord, that you've gifted and graced. Lord, thank you that while they were still being fearfully and wonderfully made in their mother's wombs, Lord, you invested them with the gifts and talents that are now just coming forth so beautifully. Lord, we pray that you would just bless their time away. We pray that you'd bless them with traveling mercies, Lord. Pray that you'd watch over them, keep them safe, cover them with Jesus' blood. Lord, I pray that it would be a great time of bonding, of Christian fellowship. And Lord, more than anything, I pray that their gifts would just shine through them, Lord, and give glory to Jesus. Lord, we thank you that they're going to come home just rejoicing at the wonderful things that you've done in their time away. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Kurt. Thank you, Vivi. Thank you to our beautiful students. God bless you. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 3. It gets a little sunny in the sanctuary on this side in the summertime, and some people like the sun section, but if you like it, Marlene, you like the sun, you got your glasses, sunglasses, you're ready to go. If the sun's in your face a little bit and you're uncomfortable, please feel welcome at any point to just adjust your seat, move one way to the left or right, and it'll help you out. All right, 1 Timothy 3, aspire to service. St. Paul writes in verse 8, in the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Let's talk for a few minutes about aspire to service. I have a question from the Holy Spirit today. Do you have a servant's heart? You know, so much is riding on our service. The future of the church with a capital C is riding on our service. The continued success of the gospel mission in the world, the fate of our next few generations, and the future of America is riding on our heart to serve, our willingness to serve. People's eternal destinies are riding on our willingness to serve, our heart to serve. Last week we shared from the early verses of 1 Timothy chapter 3 about the need and the importance of Spirit-called, Spirit-empowered, and Spirit-guided leaders. But ultimately, all of us are called first and foremost to be servants. After addressing pastoral overseers in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul goes on to address deacons. The word deacon means a servant. It can refer to an official leadership position in the church, as we have here at HTC, but it can also refer to people in a variety of service roles in the church. Deacon means to do menial tasks. It literally means to wait on tables. In Acts chapter 6, seven men were chosen to deacon. They were chosen to wait tables for widows in need. I want you to hear this morning, with or without a leadership office, with or without a leadership title, all of us are called to be deacons. All of us are called to be servants. Our role model for service is Jesus. He is the first deacon of the church. Although he's the king of everyone and everything, Jesus is a servant king. The orientation of his heart, the inclination of his heart is service. And the culture of his kingdom is service. Service is in where Jesus is. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be great among you must become your deacon, must become your servant. For even the Son of Man didn't come to be deaconed, to be served, but he came to deacon. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Remember in the upper room, the disciples got into a little argument over who was most important. Jesus broke into their conversation and he said, "Who is greater, the one who dines at the table or the one who deacons, the one who serves?" He says, "Is it not the one who is dining? But I am among you as a deacon. I am among you as one who serves." At the Last Supper, Jesus washed the disciples' feet, the most menial task, the most humble task that anybody could ever do. And he told the disciples, "Now that you've seen me do this, you go and do likewise." The Bible says that one day there will be a great banquet in heaven, and it says that God himself will serve us. Can you imagine that? That's a mind-blowing thought. A creator who serves
His own creations. Service is the orientation of His heart, and He wants it to be the orientation of our heart. Servant was the highest honorary title that was bestowed upon Moses. He was called Moses, the deacon, the servant of the Lord. St. Paul called himself a deacon, a servant of the church, of the gospel, of the new covenant, of Christ. He called Timothy and Epaphras and Tychicus and Titus deacons, servants of Christ Jesus. I want you to hear this. Whatever role God may ultimately call us to in the body of Christ, all of it begins with service. And it consists entirely of service, and it culminates and concludes with service. You may never be called to a position on a church board, but you're still a deacon. You're still a servant. You may be called to fill a deacon's seat, but you'll always remain a servant. You may be called to become a pastor or an apostle, but you'll never stop being a deacon. You'll never stop being a servant. My prayer for our church is that God would give us all hearts for service, and that ours would be a culture of service. My prayer is that we would come not to be served, but that we would come to serve others, especially those who have yet to discover Jesus. Looking at St. Paul's words to young Timothy, I want to share a few qualities of kingdom servants with you. A few qualities of kingdom servants. On your way in, you received a program, and your program is an outline of today's sermon. And if you like, you can listen, watch the screens, fill in the blanks, and follow along. If you'd like to have an outline at home, you can click in the chat section of the live stream. There's a PDF file. You can click on that link and download an outline of today's sermon. Do you have a servant's heart? A few qualities of kingdom servants. First of all, kingdom servants are loyal and trustworthy. Kingdom servants are loyal and trustworthy. Paul says that deacons, servants, must be sincere. That word sincere literally means not double-tongued. In English, we would say it this way: you don't speak out of both sides of your mouth. You say one thing to one person, and then you turn around and you say something completely different to another person. Kingdom servants speak with sincerity. They don't flatter. They don't manipulate others with their words. They don't yes people to death when they don't mean yes at all. Kingdom servants are honest. They tell the truth. They speak the truth. They hold confidences. They keep their verbal commitments. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. If people can't trust what you say, then how will they trust the gospel when you share it with them? In a king's palace, servants have access to intimate spaces. They have access to people. They have access to meetings and confidential information. They're privy to conversations that other people are not privy to. So the master must be able to trust the servant to keep confidences. If you traffic in gossip, the king will never be able to trust you with the intimate secrets, the true riches of his kingdom. Do you have a servant's heart? A few qualities of kingdom servants: loyal, trustworthy. I like this one. Kingdom servants are self-disciplined for the sake of others. Kingdom servants are self-disciplined for the sake of others. Once again, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the subject of drinking comes up. Paul says that kingdom servants must not drink too much. And we can add to that, nor get high. You know, overindulgence is always a bad thing for us personally. But it's a real mark of maturity when we restrain ourselves for the sake of others who look to us. We restrain ourselves, we discipline ourselves so that we're physically and emotionally available for those who need us. We restrain ourselves so that we're available to give counsel, to give comfort. We restrain ourselves so that we're available to protect and provide for and help and guide. I have a word on my heart for somebody this morning. Some of us need to leave more margin in our lives so that we're more available to the Lord and we're more available for others. It's not that we struggle with a moral issue like getting drunk or getting high, but it's simply that we overplan and overprogram our lives. Every minute of every weekday and every weekend is booked solid. Wall-to-wall work followed by wall-to-wall play. There's nothing inherently immoral about what we do with our time, but we leave no space for the Lord to call on us. We leave no space for others to call on us. Here's the thing about servants. Servants don't serve at their convenience. Servants serve when the master calls them. How many of you know that creativity happens in the margins? When I'm reading a book, when I'm taking notes, it's in the margins that all my creative thoughts come. Maybe I was a doodler and when I was a student, you know, creativity is what happens in the margins. And it's when we leave margins in our life that there's an opportunity for God to come in and creatively use us to bless somebody else. I feel compelled to encourage somebody, go through your fall calendar, prayerfully consider what's there in your calendar, and be intentional about leaving some margins for your family and especially for the Lord. Lord, I'm just going to leave some breathing room in my schedule for you to use me to see how you see fit. People often ask me, why doesn't the Lord heal as much today as we read about in the pages of the Bible or we hear about in other times and in other places? I want to say to you that the Lord absolutely still heals. But I think maybe the reason we don't see more is because we're just too busy for him to call upon us. And we're too busy to call upon him. Do you have a servant's heart? A few qualities of kingdom servants: loyal, trustworthy, self-disciplined. Here's another one. Kingdom servants are humble and integrous. Kingdom servants are humble and integrous. The issue of restraint carries over from the pursuit of pleasure to the pursuit of treasure. Making money is not a bad thing. Making money is a good thing. We work hard and God blesses the work of our hands and we realize a profit. Making money is not a problem, but taking money unethically is a problem. Kingdom servants never put themselves ahead of others by taking advantage of them financially. Kingdom servants don't cheat. They don't steal. They don't cook the books. They don't exploit others for gain, especially those close to them. Kingdom servants aren't lovers of money. Jesus said, if we're not faithful with money, God can't entrust us with the true riches of the kingdom, which is the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us to bless others. Do you have a servant's heart? A few quality of kingdom servants. You doing all right? All right, loyal, trustworthy, self-disciplined, humble, and integrous. Kingdom servants are consistently faithful. Kingdom servants are consistently faithful. Paul says that deacons, servants, hold on to the deep truths of the faith. In other places, these words are translated the mystery of the gospel or the mystery of Christ. Can I tell you that the gospel is a simple message? In fact, it is so simple that many people stumble over it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. People stumble over the simplicity of that. It can't be that easy. Yeah, it really is that easy. It's a simple message, but I want to tell you that our lifelong pursuit of the gospel should not be overly simplistic. I've been studying the gospel my entire life, and I want to tell you, each year, the gospel blows my mind more and more. There's always something new to learn. There's always something to marvel at with a new level of appreciation and gratitude, the inconceivable brilliance of God, who meticulously devised and precisely executed the plan of salvation in Jesus, his orchestration of the events of human history, all leading up to the incarnation and the cross of Christ, the infinite love of God, what the cross cost him personally. St. Peter wrote, the angels long to understand these things. They scratch their heads with their wingtips. Kingdom servants are committed to studying the truths of the gospel. They're committed to comprehending them, internalizing them, feeling them, owning them, and then practically living them out. The deep truths of the gospel shape and inform our consciences, and we live by them, careful not to violate. The great revivalist Jonathan Edwards used this illustration, and I like it. He said that our conscience inside of us is like a sundial, and God's word is the sun. I would add, God's word illuminated by the Holy Spirit is the sun. Only the light of the sun gives the correct reading on the sundial. And that's the way it works with our consciences. The light of the moon will not give the correct reading on a sundial. The light of a candle will not give the correct reading on a sundial. Only the light of the sun. And so it is, the truth of the gospel illuminates us and it gives our conscience the right reading. Kingdom servants are faithful to the Lord and faithful to their own families. If they're married, they're faithful to their spouses. If they're parents, they're faithful to their children. They give love and structure, instill discipline, give good guidance, support their family financially and emotionally. They're there for their families. Kingdom servants aren't faithful to these things just 2 weeks at a time. They're not faithful on and off again. They can withstand a prolonged period of evaluation and be found to be consistent in all of these things. Do you have a servant's heart? A few qualities of kingdom servants: loyal, trustworthy, self-disciplined, humble, integrous, faithful. I like this one. Kingdom servants are both men and women. One of the most widely respected New Testament scholars of the last 50 years was a man named Gordon Fee. He happened to also be a Pentecostal. Gordon Fee says about verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 3 that it's one of the true puzzles of the pastoral epistles. Some of the older English translations of this verse say, likewise, their wives should be so and so and so. But the word that is used in verse 11 is the word women. It could mean wives or it could just mean women. And there is no there. The English translators supplied the word their wives. In fact, if you're reading in the King James or New King James Bible this morning, you'll notice in verse 11 that the word there is italicized, letting you know that the translators supplied that word for greater clarity of their view of the meaning. But what St. Paul actually wrote is, likewise, women are to be. And what follows is an exact duplicate of the qualifications for deacons in verse 8. Which has led many New Testament scholars to conclude that Paul is not addressing deacons' wives, he's addressing female deacons, deaconesses. Phoebe is one such deaconess that is expressly commended by Paul in Romans 16, verse 1. If Paul does mean deaconess, it makes more sense that he goes back to addressing deacons in verse 12 in the event that the King James translators were correct and Paul did mean deacons' wives. It still points to the fact that these women had a prominent leadership, public leadership role in the congregation that required that they meet these qualifications. So what Paul seems to be saying is that deacons are both men and women and must possess all the qualities of kingdom servants. That's good right there. Do you have a servant's heart? A few qualities of kingdom servants. I like this one. Kingdom servants have moral and spiritual influence in the church. Kingdom servants have moral and spiritual influence in the church. St. Paul says that those who serve well in the church gain an excellent standing. Literally, it means that they stand up on a step. With or without a title, the rest of the church family recognizes their stature in the Lord. The church family looks to them for wise counsel and guidance. My son and I the other day were reminiscing about how many men he has known growing up here at HTC who were such amazing examples and role models. Ladies, we don't mean to leave you out, but our conversation just happened to be about men. Wise, mature, kind, good, disciplined, successful, hard workers, spiritual men. Yesterday, we were privileged to celebrate our friend Tony Cadella on his 95th birthday, and he is still going strong for the Lord. Tony, where are you? Wave your hand. I saw you somewhere. I saw you go by. There he is, Tony. Stand up, Tony. 95 years. And I want to tell you that Tony still shares Christ. He witnesses to people and shares his faith in Christ with people every day. You are awesome, Tony, and we love you. Do you have a servant's heart? A few qualities of kingdom servants: loyal, trustworthy, self-disciplined, humble, integrous, faithful, both men and women, influential, and finally this: kingdom servants have confident faith in God. Worship team, you can come help me. Kingdom servants have confident faith in God. St. Paul writes, those who have served well gain an excellent standing. Literally, they stand up on a step. And they have great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means that when they approach God in prayer, they know that God hears them. You know, the Bible says that Moses had a little pup tent of prayer. He used to carry it himself outside of the camp and meet with God. And he said every time Moses went into his pup tent of prayer, the presence of God came down and met with him. I want to tell you that servants who serve well in the church, servants who embody these heart qualities, when they go to God in prayer, they go with a confidence that God is listening and that God is going to move on their behalf. St. John wrote about it. He said, we have this confidence when we pray with a clear conscience. We know that God hears us, and we know that if he hears us, he's going to move and work on our behalf. St. James, the half-brother of our Lord, wrote, is anyone in trouble? Is anyone sick? Get the church leaders to pray for you. Who? The ones who have served well and have gained an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith. Get them to pray for you, because the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. This is my prayer for Harvest Time Church. My prayer is that God would give us all the hearts of kingdom servants, and that God would make service to others the culture of our church. I'm going to share one final word with you, and then we're going to change gears and we're going to do a little celebrating today. But here's the word that I want to leave you with. You know, in just a couple short weeks, summer is going to be over. COVID is over. And I feel to say from the Lord, it is time to get serving again. It's time to get engaged. You know what? COVID, we've been in this like 2.5 year funk because of COVID. It's over. It's time to re-engage. It's time to get involved in the body again. It's time to get into life groups again. We need life group leaders. We want to do Bible studies this fall. We need life group leaders that are willing to lead Bible studies in all of our ministries of the church. It is time to get back into the game. It's time to get re-engaged. Listen, Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to deacon. He came to serve. And that's my prayer, that you'll come not to be served, but to serve. I want to congratulate you all. You came in here just ordinary you. You are all leaving here deacons today, all right? Put your hand over your heart if you're willing. And I just want to pray for you and I just want to bless you today. Father, I thank you so much for the people of God. Lord, thank you that you love the church. You gave yourself for the church. Lord, you continue working on your church, washing, perfecting, renewing, restoring, remaking, refashioning, recreating. Lord, thank you that you never give up on us. Lord, I pray that you would give us hearts like yours. I pray, Lord, that the orientation of our heart would be service, that the inclination of our heart would be service. Lord, I pray that we would consider how we live and, Lord, how we prioritize our life. I pray that we would consider, Lord, our actions and how they impact others and especially our availability to others. God, I pray that you'd give us grace to restructure a little bit and to leave wide margins. Lord, to leave space for you to say, go here. Speak to that person, pray for that person, reach out to that person, serve that person. Lord, I thank you for your people. I pray your protection over them. Lord, I pray, Lord, your hand upon them. I pray your anointing rest on them. Lord, I pray that in the night hours you'd minister, sing songs of joyful deliverance over them, Lord God. Father, I pray that you'd bless your people in every way, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. So now we're going to change gears and we're going to honor a man and a couple that really have embodied all of these qualities for more than 25 years here at HTC. Pastor Nick had a landmark birthday last week and we're celebrating him today. And this month, Pastor Nick and Patty are starting their 20th year of ministry as our associate pastors here at Harvest Time Church. Take a look at the screens for just one moment, and we're going to give you a highlight reel of Pastor Nick through the years.
Lord, I offer my life to you, everything.
Pastor Nick and Patty, would you come? Denise, would you come? And I want to ask our staff to come. I'm going to ask Brian and Terry to Kelly to come on behalf of our board. Let's let Pastor Nick and Patty know how much we love and how much we appreciate them. So Pastor Nick and Patty were here at the HTC family when Denise and I came. You were already here when we came in 1996, and Pastor Nick was practicing law back in those days, and a lot of his practice in one season was real estate, and Pastor Nick would lead worship for us on Friday evenings, every Friday evening in the red room. I don't know why we called it red, because there was nothing red in the room, so the red carpet was gone by the time I got here, so but we still called it the red room. But and I would get, there was no texting didn't exist yet back then, so but I'd get these messages from Pastor Nick on Friday afternoon, and he says, I have a closing all the way at the other end of the state. And he'd get in his car, race to Norwalk. Your three kids were still in car seats, all three of them then. And Patty would literally feed Pastor Nick dinner while he was driving down the Merritt. She'd feed him dinner, and he'd roll in and lead worship for us on Friday evenings. And if any of you were with us back then, oh, how the Holy Spirit moved in those Friday evenings meetings. But I want to say that that level of commitment, love for Christ, love for the body of Christ, love for just ministering, that has characterized Pastor Nick's ministry all the way through. In 2003, I persuaded him to leave his law practice and come to the lucrative career of ministry. So my joke with him is that he's gone from practicing law to practicing grace. Pastor Nick and Patty, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your friendship. Patty is my secret prayer weapon. So when I have mountains that need to be moved, I get Patty Yuva praying on it, and those mountains, they move out of the way. God listens to her prayers. I'll tell you one Pastor Nick story, and then I'll be done. So we were going on a road trip. We were going to a conference in Buffalo, New York. And I was driving, and our friend Mike Morris was next to me, and Pastor Nick was in the back seat. And our friend Mike Morris had had some sinus surgery and was suffering from just a debilitating headache. And so we're on the New York State Thruway, and I'm looking for some place to pull over and get Advil for him. And Pastor Nick is like, why don't we just pray? And from the back seat, he reached his hands around, put his hands on Mike Morris's head, and prayed for him, and that headache instantly left him. That's Pastor Nick. All right, on behalf of our Board of Deacons and Trustees, Brian is going to just make a presentation. Terry, if you have anything from the Lord you feel inclined to share, you're welcome to do that too.
Thank you, Pastor Glenn. I need to stand sideways so I can look at Pastor Nick and Patty at the same time when I talk to you guys. You know, it's pretty tough to follow up a word like that you gave today because it speaks just about you. Just about you. Both. And, you know, Pastor Nick, in case you didn't know, he's a really special person. If you've known him a week or nearly 30 years like I have, he's just the greatest guy. I mean, I don't think I can tell you anything that you don't already know about him or that hasn't been said of him already. You know, now he's got a law degree. He's got a degree in biology. Is that correct, right? And, you know, he's an awesome teacher. Have you ever sat under his teaching? He speaks several languages, and if that weren't enough, he's decided to teach himself Hebrew. So, you know, he's just a great guy. He's a great man. And he really does embody all the things Pastor Glenn spoke of deacons today. All of his life, ever since I've known him. And by the way, have you ever heard Pastor Nick do an impression? He's awesome. So you have to pick somebody that he knows, you know, preferably an actor or a cartoon character from like the 60s or 70s. He's best at those. So do that in your spare time. So on a little more personal note, sorry, I had to write this down so I didn't forget anything. Pastor Nick and I go back a long way, like I said. It's a privilege for me to call him my friend. We've been through a lot, and I have to tell you, all of you, that my walk today is due in great part to his ministry to me and his teaching and his encouragement. All these years, he keeps doing the same thing for me, and I'm very appreciative of that, Nick. There is so much to say. You know, actually, I'm up here by default because Dr. Rana was supposed to, and he got called out, and so it's my privilege today to do this. And when Pastor Glenn told us what was really going to happen this afternoon, he first said, okay, it'll be just a cursory thing, you know, not much, but, you know, just a thank you. And I said, oh, good, that's easy. I don't have to say too much. And then he wrote back to us and said, by the way, you can, you know, add in your own personal touch to that. And then I panicked and I think, oh, I've got all this stuff to say. So, I prayed about that, and God said, don't worry about that. So, because of what you've ministered in me, God gave me a word for you, Nick, and I'm going to read it to you because I had to write it so that I didn't forget any of it. And he said to you, well done, my son, well done. You've taken your gifts and used them for my glory. In great measure, you have affected the lives of many. I will reward you openly with greater responsibility and a demonstration of the Spirit's power. The impact of the demonstration will be dramatic. The consequence will be that many will turn their attention to the gospel message, and there will be outstanding results in your ministry. It will, in fact, cause people to say, "What must I do to be saved?" So you know what else he said to me? He said, "So get ready. Get ready. The things, Nick, that you know in your head and you know in your heart and you've actually seen with your eyes, these things are going to increase radically in your ministry." He told me to tell you that there's going to be surpassing great revelation. And in the area of your prophetic ability, which I thought was already at the top, he said it's going to become great, and it will be given to you in extreme detail. He also said that the sick will be healed right before your eyes. And the last thing that he said to me was, the miraculous will begin to occur. That's awesome. Things are much better when God says them, right? But I don't want to leave you out, Patty, because, you know, this is what he said to me for you. Actually, I take that back. It's partially me. It seemed good to me and the Holy Spirit to say that every successful man could never have made it to where they get to without the help of a great wife. And we honor you today. He'd be the first one to tell you that, too. He also said, "Patty, you are credited with Nick's successes as well as your own." So, today, on behalf of the board, and all of us, really, we want to present you with this token of our appreciation for 20 years of service, and like Pastor Glenn said the other day, 60 years of of life. May there be many more of both. Hallelujah.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that we can take some extra time to honor someone to whom honor is very due. We thank you for Pastor Nick. We thank you for Patty. We thank you for their life. And Lord, just as we heard the story of him wrapping his arms around Mike, Lord, that is what he has done to this congregation. Lord, you've enabled his arms to extend and to grow and to be able to encapsulate and to embrace each one of us. I thank you, Father, for the ministry that you've given to this couple. And Father, I hear you saying, Pastor Nick, I just hear him saying that you have been so faithful. You have been so, you have been in a time where you've persevered, and I even saw in your journey moments where it was like a wilderness to you, where there were opportunities for you to escape, but God caused you to continue to move forward and to walk forward through times of dryness and times of wilderness so that you could grab a hold of the opportunities he had for you. And I thank you, Father, for the faithfulness of this couple, that even when it was difficult, even when they had opportunity to run or to hide, Lord, they continued to walk. They continued to move forward and to persevere and to endure. Father, I thank you that when they endure, that the crown that you have for them will be and is theirs today. I thank you, Father, that where they have planted themselves here, that I see the roots have gone deep. They've gone deeper than any root we know in the natural can go. And because of those deep roots, I see a plant flourishing higher and stronger and thicker than I've ever seen in the natural. And I believe, Pastor Nick, that you've blessed and you've nurtured us, that your plant, that you've given us shade and you've given us instruction. But I sense that now that you've given that to this house, that there is now coming a time where that influence and that ministry is going to affect others on the outside of this church, that the Lord will begin to open doors, that your voice and your word and your writing will be able to reach those it has not yet been able to reach, that it wasn't yet time, that the ability has been there, the anointing has been there, but God said it wasn't time, but now a door is opening, and that God will cause you to know which door to walk through and which door to stay away from. So, Father, we thank you today that the ministry that has blessed us will continue to bless this house and those who haven't even yet walked through these doors. Lord, you've already put your hand upon them. As Brian said, it will have a far-reaching effect and those will come to know you through him. But Lord, I thank you that those on the outside of this church, whatever way you want to magnify and amplify what you have put within him, Lord, we know it's not him, it's you in him. So Father, whatever way you want to magnify and amplify what you have placed within him, do it. And we support him and Patty in this measure, Lord. And we just ask your blessing upon them, Lord, that there would be greater fruitfulness, greater protection, greater measures of your presence through their ministry. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. We have birthday cupcakes downstairs for everyone. Pastor Nick and Patty are going to go downstairs. I hope that you'll greet them. Many of you have brought cards and blessings for them. And so take an opportunity to stop by, have a cupcake, greet them. If anybody would like personal prayer, we have prayer in the prayer room across the foyer in that direction. We're going to sing, and after you've sung, you may be dismissed. God bless you. God be with you. Have a great week in Jesus, and we'll see you next Sunday.